Greetings, humans. You have entered the Command Zone, your destination for all aspects of Elder Dragon Highlander. Enjoy your stay.
I got soul, but I'm not a soldier. I got soul, but I'm not a soldier. I got soul, but I'm not a soldier. I got soul, but I'm not a soldier.
Yeah.
I love that song.
Oh, it's so good. So there's this famous thing where the trailer for Jarhead, which ended up with a song from Kanye on it, was a very big trailer in the trailer industry. But it started with I Got Soul, But I'm Not a Soldier, that song.
Oh, really?
On it, yeah.
So if you put that song over it, it would fit?
Yeah, it would sort of fit. It got tweaked a little bit, but that's the thing, is like sort of later on in the process, everyone was liking it, and then somehow the other song got found, and ba-doom. So there's a little behind the curtain.
Tragedy.
Check out the Jarhead trailer, because it's pretty sweet.
It is really sweet, yeah. I remember watching it and be like, wow, this is it. I can't wait to see this.
It's funny how the industry works. As soon as that Jarhead trailer came out, then everybody was like, I don't know, can you find a Jay-Z song or something that works under this other movie? Like, they just wanted to do that for every movie for a while.
Yeah, and there have been a lot of Jay-Z songs in trailers as well, and remixes.
Now it's just the Inception horn in every movie.
Or the single piano at the beginning. Ding!
Mm-hmm. Which is actually an evolution of the Inception horn, right? It's just like one sound repeated.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, my favorite is the Rogue One, the...
Yeah, the klaxon.
Whatever
the
that
Death
is.
The Death Star klaxon.
Oh, that's what it is?
Yeah.
Cool. Anyway, how's it going, everybody? You are listening to The Command Zone. I'm your host, Jimmy Wong.
How's it? It's Josh Lee Kwai.
And we are back talking about Commander 2016. We have two decks to go. If you guys haven't seen the rest of these, we break down every single deck every year from the pre-constructed decks that Wizards releases, show you guys some few quick tips on how to modify them, and today we are doing Brea Aetherium Shaper. But before we get started, we have a couple of announcements.
Yes, so announcement number one, we've started a Patreon.
We finally did it. It's been 2 years, essentially, since this podcast has started.
A little more.
We've released over 130 episodes. And now we are reaching out to you all to help support the show, because we've been footing the bill for quite a while, because, you know, we wanted to make this show for you all and focus on quality first before asking anyone for anything.
Yeah, we wanted to make sure we were at the level where we felt comfortable, like, yeah, the show maybe is worth a couple of dollars from the listeners. Also, just, you know, to be totally honest, we've spent a lot of money on the show. Out of our own pockets. We're not trying to even out those books in any way. We're just trying.
It's impossible.
It's impossible.
This point.
I mean, really, tens of thousands of dollars. And we have an editor that we've paid every episode at a, you know, industry standard rate since like episode 10. I did the first 10. But after that, like, Jimmy and I just unfortunately don't have the time to do the show if we also have to edit it, because that's a great big chunk of time.
Yep.
So this is it. We're just trying to ask for a little bit of help and support. And also, we've got a bunch of other things that we want to do more of, and you probably wonder why we haven't. Things like Kitchen Table Fables.
Mm-hmm. The out-of-the-box video that we shot and did last week for the pre-constructed decks.
Yeah, definitely gameplay video is something people really responded to, and we want to do more of. And in order to do more of it, unfortunately, we just are at the maximum amount that we ourselves can personally finance.
Yeah, so I would say the pilot period for the show is finally over. We've been picked up by the network, and the network is you all. And Patreon's super simple. We're doing it by episode. You can get in as low as a dollar per episode. And honestly, I think that's what most people will do, and that's what's going to make the biggest difference for us as a show. So if you guys want to check it out, there's a bunch of other also tiers and things that you get for being a donor. Go to patreon.com/commandzone from the bottom of our hearts. Thank you.
Thank you. It's been great so far. We can't wait for more great things to come.
Yep.
We should also mention our sponsor, Card Kingdom. They are awesome. They get you cards faster than anybody. Make sure that when you order cards through Card Kingdom, you use the affiliate link cardkingdom.com/commandzone.
Yep. And we list a bunch of cards at the end of all of these episodes, and they're also in the show notes below about what to take out and what to add in. So the best way to get those cards immediately if you want to play very quickly with them is by going to cardkingdom.com/commandzone.
It's also the best place to order the Commander precons if for some reason you haven't already. Yeah. You should have the ones that you want by now.
Yeah, 100%. They've been a blast. I think they're all worth it value-wise as well. So
okay, on to the episode.
Okay, so the pre-con deck that we are going to be talking about today is Invent Superiority, which is the green list deck featuring Brea Aetherium Shaper as the four-color commander on the front. Again, this episode is meant as a breakdown of the deck. We're going to analyze all the aspects of the deck and then tell you what cards that we would take out and put in, essentially, to make it better. And we're not talking about a full reshaping of the deck. We're just talking 10 to 15 cards. So really easy adjustments that you can do, especially if you're buying a deck for the first time and don't want to sort of start from nothing. This is a great sort of pre-build to go off of.
Yeah, it's also a good look if you're just going to open the deck and play it without changing it, just to sort of see, you know, a lot of times you need to like figure out what a deck wants to do. Mm-hmm. And this is a good look at be like, okay, the first time I play it, I sort of already know what the deck's doing, what it wants to do. So that tells you maybe how you might play your cards and things like that. So yeah, it's also a good overview for that.
All right. So let's read Brea Aetherium Shaper. She is white, blue, black, and red for a 4/4 legendary artifact creature, human. Notably, she is an artifact. That's going to come into play later. When Brea Aetherium Shaper enters the battlefield, create 2/1/1 blue Thopter artifact creature tokens with flying. And then she has an additional line of text that says, pay 2 mana and sacrifice 2 artifacts to choose one. Either Brea deals 3 damage to target player, or target creature gets -4/-4 until end of turn, or you gain 5 life. A lot of people underrated this card, I think.
A lot. And we've talked about it a little bit already on previous episodes, but the fact, I think there's the one big thing that really slides past you the first time you read her and then you realize it is that she can sacrifice herself.
Yep. And being a commander, she can also be recasted, which means you're going to get more 1/1 blue Thopter artifact creature tokens. It's an enter the battlefield ability, not on cast ability. So flickering her as well also gets you more. So she creates 3 artifacts when she comes into the battlefield, essentially herself and 2 other tokens. And all of those are fodder for her sacrifice ability.
And also because she sacrifices 2 when you use her ability, there's 1 left over in that exchange, which is responsible for a lot of the broken things, not all of them, that you can do. Basically, if you can ever create infinite mana, it has to be colored mana, but infinite mana, then Brea can just win because everything else is on her because she is a commander. So you can cast her, sacrifice her and one of the Thopters to herself to deal 3 damage to somebody. Then if you have infinite mana, you recast her,
do the same thing.
So you can immediately win, you know, aside from counterspells and things, other effects that players might have. But if you ever get infinite mana, Brea, very, very, very powerful. I would say among the pre-con decks, straight out of the box with no changes, she is possibly the most powerful. Definitely one of the top 2, I would say, with Atraxa.
Yeah, and this deck bears a lot of similarities to Atraxa that we'll talk about later. But yeah, I think Brea is very good, obviously. And I know for a fact a lot of people are going to build infinite combos off her. I think it's going to take at least 3 cards. And it's not immediately obvious what you have to do. But like Josh said, if you're able to ever infinitely generate mana or infinitely flicker her and generate even colorless mana at that point, you can kill everyone because she can deal a lot of damage to a lot of people.
Some are 2 cards, though.
Yes.
Anyway, okay. Yeah. We're going to talk about her more later.
Yeah. All right. The other new legendary creatures in the deck, the first up is Akiri Lineslinger. You want to read her?
Yep. Akiri Lineslinger just costs 2 mana, a red and a white, for a 0/3 legendary creature, core soldier ally. Has first strike and vigilance. 2 mana, 0/3 first strike, huh?
There's the Boros.
Has partner, but the real line of text is Akiri gets +1/+0 for each artifact you control.
Yeah, she's got cranial plating on her permanently, kind of.
Yep. Yeah, it's exactly what it is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine. This card's fine. Once you play a lot of artifacts, it's not super exciting. I guess it is 2 mana.
Yeah, and the vigilance does make a big difference because this can almost always ping someone at the table for, you know, 5-6 damage and then sit there and be a great blocker on the ground.
Yeah, good point. And you're going to, in a deck like that, you're going to play a lot of artifact lands and things like that. So
yeah,
it could get huge and out of control.
This next card.
Oh, I love this card, actually. Oh, boy. Surprisingly, not my type of card.
Yeah, not mine either, honestly. And it does work. It is Bruce Tarl, Bordish Herder, also known as Brom from League of Legends, but in the Summer Isles, I guess.
Is he Russian? Because Bordish.
Bordish.
It sounds like Boris.
Yeah. It's Bruce Borish.
Bruce,
yeah. He's 2 red and a white for a 3/3 legendary creature human ally. Whenever Bruce Tarl enters the battlefield or attacks, target creature you control gains double strike and lifelink until end of turn. Boy. So there's a similar card that is called Rafik that also grants double strike. And we've all seen what happens when creatures get double strike in Commander. They usually end up killing people very quickly. But the lifelink tagged onto this also means that you're going to be gaining a ton of life.
Yeah, wow. This card. So I played this deck in the third game of our gameplay video series, which wasn't on the video, but we're working on it. Maybe its own video here soon. Mm-hmm. And I played Bruce Tarl and I forget one of the other, I think Silas Wren, Kylo Wren, whatever that guy's name is. And I never cast the Silas Wren, but Bruce Tarl was a linchpin in that deck. That card was amazing. I think I gained like 80 life off of him.
Yeah.
It was insanity. Like that. Oh, that card is just
surprisingly
good. Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone else was like, all right, we have to kill Josh now and be like, oh, God, you just gained another 30 life.
Yeah. In that game, spoiler alert, Craig got out 4/8/8 flyers on turn 5 and started attacking me with them. And yet there was a point where I was at 32 and he was at 5 because I was able to lifelinking double strike and just gain all the life back every time that he was trading with me. So Bruce Tarl, pretty good.
Pretty good. Well, speaking of Kylo Ren,
Silas Wren, Seeker Adept. This is the third partner commander in the deck. It's 1BB, so 3 mana total for a 2/2 legendary artifact creature, human, has death touch. Whenever Kylo Ren deals combat damage to a player, choose target artifact card in your graveyard. You may cast that card this turn.
That's pretty good. It's going to be hard for people to block him in general.
Just because death touch. But...
Combat damage to a player is like my least favorite term on the card.
It's just very conditional. I mean, yes, it's going to happen sometimes, but it's hard to guarantee that it's going to happen, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you need other cards in the deck. Then you have to cast the artifact. Man, it would be, I think, like Yidris, right? You deal combat damage, you cascade.
Yeah.
That doesn't cost you anything extra. You deal combat damage, and then you just get something for free. Silas just lets you cast something out of your graveyard. That's still good, but you have to pay the mana cost, so you don't actually get like as much as, say, Yidris. I mean, obviously, he's a 3-mana card, so.
Yeah, and I think you can obviously see this combo as well with Brea, because the artifacts you're sacrificing might end up in the graveyard, so Silas can bring them back. But the conditional part of having to deal combat damage is going to be a bit trickier, so.
Yeah, I mean, the death touch, like you said, it does help.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing about this deck is there are also a ton of other legendary cards in here. Like, they stacked this deck with every single legendary card I think they could have.
When I saw this list that you made, I was like, holy crap.
Yeah, so the first one isn't necessarily legendary, but it is a Planeswalker that can be your commander. It's Duretti, Scrap Savant, who is in the mono-red decks.
Also an expensive card.
Yeah, a great reprint, and also incredibly good with Artifact Recursion and an automatic fit into this deck. I think one of the things I've found with the four-color decks, a little aside, is that they very much resemble a three-color deck, and then the fourth color seems really underrepresented. Mm-hmm. Like in one of the decks that just had a little bit of blue, it was like, oh, we'll just throw in a Disdainful Stroke.
Right.
It's like, well, that's not really making use of the blue.
But it was awesome because it won me that one game.
It did win me that game.
Randomly.
Yeah. But Duretti, Scrap Savant is one. Red is sort of the underrepresented color in this deck, and Duretti is by far the most powerful card out of all of those. That card is incredibly good.
Shroom is also in there. Shroom
the Hegemon.
Really, really powerful card, too. That's a powerful deck in its own right.
Yeah, now that's like what I want Silas Wren to say is what Shroom says.
Yes.
You also have Slowbad, Goblin Tinkerer, Hannah, Ship's Navigator, Sidri, Galvanic Genius, Jor Kadeen, the Prevailer, and Godo, Bandit Warlord. So those are all legendary creatures. If you wanted to build a deck around any of these guys or gals, you could.
What a great deck to purchase to have the ability just in the future to build a bunch more decks because you already have a bunch of legendaries. This is really cool.
Yeah, and they all work really well in the deck as well. I would say like Jor Kadeen maybe is the only one that doesn't mesh that well because he just gives all your guys +3/+0. Still pretty good, yeah. And that's something that we messed up as well when we were playing because we didn't see that it gave all of your creatures that.
I don't think it mattered because I think I only had Bruce Tarl on him. But
it may have mattered for me when I stole it a couple of turns.
Oh, for you it probably would have mattered.
But, I mean, I still
so read my cards, Jimmy.
Yeah, no, I didn't read the dang card. Oh, well. All right, so let's talk about some deck statistics. Obviously, this is an artifact deck, so there are 31 cards in this deck that care about artifacts, either artifacts entering the battlefield, going to the graveyard, or being in the graveyard. So it's similar to the Atraxa deck because that one was all about +1/+1 counters. Similar number there. 31 cards is almost half of the cards in the deck.
Yeah, this is great because it makes our life so much easier. You don't have to go searching for what the deck wants to do. I mean,
yeah.
You would think that would be the case when you see Brea, but sometimes these decks, sort of the commander says something and then the deck really doesn't follow through with that. And this one, it definitely does.
Yep. So obviously that's going to be a huge theme moving forward. There are only 4 card draw spells in the deck, which I found to be kind of interesting considering that this deck does have blue and there are a lot of artifacts out there that help you draw cards if you're able to put them in there.
It might be because they have artifact recursion or some recursion stuff and they're counting that as card draw, but I would not count that as card draw. And for the reasons we talked about in our card advantage and card draw episode, because that won't help you find the answer you need that you don't have right now. And that's a lot of what card draw is. It's just like making sure you have a board wipe in your hand when you need it. And and recursion won't always do that.
Yeah, and that's the next category. Is there are 10 cards that care about artifact recursion, either bringing the artifacts from a graveyard back to your hand or the battlefield. But the problem with this, like you said, it's not card draw because there are almost no ways to discard the cards in your hand to get into the graveyard. So if you wanted to consider a card draw, it's like a 2-step process. Discard the card and then play a card that gets that card back. That's a lot of work to be considered card draw, but that's the closest you can get to it. And there's almost no ways to ditch cards into the graveyard in the deck.
It's definitely value. I'd put it more on the card advantage end than the card draw end, right? Because you block with Kylo Ren, the Death Touch guy, and he dies and goes to the graveyard, and he kills something because he had Death Touch. And then you bring him back out of the graveyard, and now maybe you've got card advantage because he took a card with him, and it didn't actually cost you a card. But it, like we said, it's not card draw.
Yeah, and actually we did on our 127th episode, we compared card draw and card advantage. So if you guys want to learn more about that, make sure to check that out. There are 7 cards that ramp in the deck. Obviously, almost all of them are artifact-based, or they're cards that can tap for specifically artifact creatures, artifact spells, or make artifacts cost less. There are 3-4 targeted removal spells, which sounds about right, considering that Brea herself is a form of targeted removal.
Yeah, I agree with that, because Brea, surprisingly, that -4/-4 does matter a lot.
Especially against the other precons, because a lot of the main commanders are 4/4s.
Super good point. Yeah, Yidris, 4 toughness.
Mm-hmm.
Atraxa, 4 toughness. Okay, obviously, Kenaios and Tiro have more than 4 toughness. But Saskia, 4 toughness. So you can kill straight out 3 of the 4 other 4-color commanders with Brea's ability. So
and
that's Brea, really
if you face her as well.
Yeah, good point.
Because she's also 4/4. There's only 1 counterspell in the deck.
Is it Disdainful Stroke?
No, it isn't. It's a modular. It's like a split card. Cards that everyone knows you have, by the way, because you're like, let me look at this card.
Turn it sideways.
It's like, oh, I wonder what that guy's looking at.
that or your head turned sideways.
Yeah. It's like, are you looking at a full art? What's happening? There are 3 board wipes in the deck, but I wouldn't consider one of them a real board wipe because it's only doing 2 damage to every non-artifact creature. So that's a little low, I think, on the counterspell and board wipe side. And there are cards that tutor for artifacts. There are 3 of them. Which is actually pretty decent.
Yeah, that's good because these precons don't have a lot of tutoring in general.
Yeah. And then there are artifacts that want to go to the graveyard. There are 4 of those. So obviously you can see what Wizards was trying to do with this deck here. They want cards that care about artifacts. They want you to sacrifice them, put them into the graveyard or tutor for them, and you get a lot of value. So this deck is very similar to the Atraxa deck. There are a huge majority of the cards that care about artifacts. The inner synergies of the deck are all there. They flow really nicely together. I think every time someone played this deck, there was always something that they could do. They never felt dead, like an aggro deck might if they just don't have any gas left. So I think the deck wants to abuse artifact synergies, reuse a lot of the enter the battlefield abilities, and win mostly through creating value over the long term. I don't think you're going to win by necessarily lightning bolting people with Brea a bunch. It may be how you finish someone off, but that's not how you're going to take someone from 40 to 0.
I think in a fully tuned deck, maybe you do that more. But in this, straight out of the box, definitely not. And then even with a quick upgrade, it's going to be hard to build in enough of those combos to do it. But in a fully tuned Brea deck, I think you can probably build a version that's very, very combo-centric.
Yeah. And also, this was the deck that Wizards decided to add in the Boros aggro sort of commander partners. So there's a whole little mix of that in there as well. And it's interesting. Like, two of the partners are, I mean... like Bruce Tarl doesn't care about artifacts, but Akiri does. So it's kind of a weird mix. But they're both, I think, taking away from the main point of the deck. And it doesn't have very many board wipes or targeted removal. So,
which is interesting because it is the most controlly of the decks. I agree. It seemed like what Brea wanted to do was sort of use that -4/-4 ability, keep things under control, and get a value engine going where I could constantly recur, you know, some artifacts for value. And when the long game that way.
Yeah.
Which usually that's a, you want board wipes in that strategy.
Yeah, you want ways to mitigate the damage you're going to be taking because you need time to set up your, like, sweet value engine to be recurring stuff and controlling the board. Because, like, Brea isn't hard control, but she can definitely control a lot of stuff that comes out. Like, Oracle Moldiah, dead immediately. You know, like, so she can take care of a lot of problematic cards, but if it's, like, a 10-10, you're in a bit of trouble.
Or, like, yeah, if it comes out too late, the Mana Gorge or Hydra is already a 30-30.
Yeah.
Ruh-roh.
Brea can't do much about that. Ramp and card draw. The ramp is entirely creature and artifact-based, so there's no... Because it's greenless, there's no, you know, rampant growths and stuff. There are a couple of cards that act very similar to Somberwald Sage, so that adds mana for creatures only. In this case, this is artifacts only. So the card draw, I think, is a little lacking, probably because they think they have a lot of recursion and stuff in there, but there definitely needs to be more card draw. Considering we're in blue and black and white. Well, not white necessarily, but blue and black. No board wipes. There are three... I mean, there's like a Nevermiril's Disc, but there's Whip Flare, which does 2 damage to every creature. That's not an artifact. Blah. It's not really going to do much.
Even Nevermiril's, I think it's fine as a card, but it's not great because it doesn't do it now.
Yeah.
So it comes into play tapped, and that can be a real problem because somebody has one round at the table to... do something before mm-hmm. you kill all their stuff or destroy the disc. So it's a fine card. I would play it, but I don't think it's one of the better board wipes for sure.
No, and it is a very good control board wipe, though, because when you play it, you can play it at a time where you can trigger it anytime you want, so you can start playing out a lot of artifacts specifically and being like, cool, I know I can get these back because of the cards in my hand, where everyone else is kind of sitting there being like, oh, I can pull the trigger at any moment with the disc, so I'm not going to play my stuff out as much.
Yeah, I mean, we have kind of a rule in our play group, and I would suggest that you adopt it, which is anybody who's got an Avenir's disc, everyone attack that person until they blow it up, because otherwise you just can't play cards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you can play Planeswalkers.
Good point.
All right, so the best cards in the deck. This one, I think, is pretty obvious. Trading Post.
Oh, this card's so sneaky good.
Yeah, it's sneaky good. It's kind of like the Staff of Domination budget. The budget Staff of Domination.
It's like a little Planeswalker almost. It has so many abilities.
Yeah, and they're all pretty good. So for 4 mana, you get an artifact with 4 different abilities on it. The first is you can pay a mana to tap it and discard a card. You gain 4 life. Very good in this deck because you want to put things in the graveyard because of the recursion. The next ability is 1, pay 1 and tap it. Pay 1 life, create a 0/1 white goat creature token. So this is sort of like the, you can't do anything else, make a blocker.
Mm-hmm.
1 mana tap, sacrifice a creature, return artifact card from your graveyard to your hand. That's also really good in this deck.
You can sacrifice the goat.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a 2-turn get something back from your graveyard and artifact.
Yeah. Or end step upkeep kind of thing.
But also Brea makes 2 creatures when she comes in. So you have Thopters or just lying around that you can... get any artifact card back from your graveyard with.
Yep. And the probably the best one, 1 mana tap, sacrifice an artifact, draw a card.
Wow. This is very good with Brea. Something in one of our games on the gameplay video was that Josh Kim was sacrificing Brea letting Brea go to the graveyard to recast her by sacrificing a creature, bringing her back to the hand, and then recasting and getting 2 Thopters. So he was making 1 Thopter on that exchange, and he wasn't paying commander tax because it was going from... Brea was going to graveyard, then to hand, then casting. And so it was just, you know, every other turn. And that's an accrued value engine like we were talking about, that once it was down to 1v1, it's very hard to beat that. Once you're sort of in the attrition part of the game.
Yeah, and the fact that you're drawing cards off of this, you're gaining, like, you're gaining a creature, you're returning cards to your hand. Trading Post does a little bit of everything. In fact, Brea is essentially a Trading Post deck. It is what this looks like to me. Because all of these abilities, except for making a 0/1 white goat, all care, like, Brea cares about all of them.
But the goat, again, does self-synergize with the Trading Post because you can sacrifice the creature to do something with the Trading Post. It's a very good card, maybe one of the more underrated cards in Commander.
Yeah. I think you can actually put Trading Post into...
Most decks,
and be happy with it. The next one, we've already talked about it. You want to take it?
Sure. It's Duretti, Scrap Savant. Duretti's a 3 and a red, so 4 mana for a 3 loyalty planeswalker. You plus 2, discard up to 2 cards, then draw that many cards. -2, sacrifice an artifact. If you do, return target artifact card from your graveyard to the battlefield.
Yeah!
To the battlefield. So you sort of trade 1 artifact for another. that's in your graveyard. Then negative 10, you get an emblem with whenever an artifact is put into your graveyard from the battlefield, return that card to the battlefield at the beginning of the next end step. So
it's like Marchesa.
Once you get that, you're really rolling because you just, every time your stuff, your artifacts go, they just come right back.
Yeah.
Duretti, pretty expensive, very good deck in its own right. Going to be amazing in this deck.
Yeah, by far. Again, every single one of his abilities, similar to the Trading Post, is what this deck wants to do. And the third best card in the deck, I think, is just Shroom, the Hegemon. Shroom is great. 3 white, blue, black for a 5/5 Sphinx artifact creature, so she's an artifact as well. Flying, when Shroom enters the battlefield, you may return target artifact card from your creature to the battlefield. So flicker effects, obviously very good with Shroom. And the fact that it comes back to the battlefield, again, you're cheating a huge amount of mana cost sometimes because you can bring back some crazy stuff.
And you see that all of the cards listed in this section are graveyard artifact recursion cards.
Yeah.
So it's very important to the deck.
Yep.
Which makes sense because you've got a general that's sacrificing artifacts, right?
Yeah. Let's take a look at some of the worst cards. Whip Flare, 1 and a red for a sorcery. It deals 2 damage to each Narn artifact creature. It makes sense why this is in the deck, but this is not going to do what you really want it to do, I think, in a lot of games.
It's too low impact. There's too many times where you're going to stare at that card and go like, well, it kills 2 things that don't matter, and it doesn't kill the other 2 things that really matter.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes they'll get rid of an Oracle and a bunch of mana dorks, but it's just not high. I mean, like, if you can play it on turn 4 every time and play something else, then sure, but you'd rather be playing Bray on turn 4 or a mana dork on turn 3, you know? It's like...
But on turn 4, you could also just play Wrath of God.
Yeah,
so
way better, and you're in white, so
yeah,
may as well. Another awful card is Parting Thoughts.
We talked about this in one of the other decks.
Yeah, it's just so situational. 2 in the black sorcery, destroy target creature. You draw X cards and you lose X life, where X is the number of counters on that creature.
So obviously, we know it can destroy a creature, like no matter what. It doesn't have to have the counters. The problem is it's 3 mana for a sorcery.
Yeah,
and so you're paying a lot extra. Because we can get, again, you can do Swords to Plowshares or Path to Exile. So what is this card doing that makes me want to play it over those cards? It's maybe drawing cards if something has a bunch of counters on it. That's not worth it not being instant and costing 2 more mana. Not at all. Not even close.
Not even close.
Yeah, I think this card is just bad. If you're in a meta, maybe, where there's like a bunch of decks that use a bunch of +1/+1 counters, maybe.
But even then, it's like maybe one player plays that. And let's say you don't draw that card, and then that player gets eliminated, and then you draw the card, and you're like, oh.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like it.
Yeah.
The next card in the worst cards category is Read the Runes. It's blue and X for an instant. Draw X cards. For each card drawn this way, discard a card unless you sacrifice a permanent.
Why not just play any other card that just says draw X cards without the whole sacrifice bit?
That's a really good point.
You have a bunch of ways. You're already sacrificing stuff in this deck. You don't want Read the Runes here. You just play a better card draw in its spot, sort of.
I mean, Stroke of Genius, it just costs 2 more mana, and you just straight up draw the cards.
Yeah.
And then there's like Brain Geyser. Okay, that's a sorcery, but still, you just keep the cards. There's no like, and then do some other bad stuff you don't want to do.
Yeah, and obviously this deck is about sacrificing things, but this sort of feels like someone said like, oh, you want to sacrifice stuff? Here, try this out. It's like, no, I don't want to sacrifice it with this card.
I don't want to sacrifice it for nothing.
Yeah.
I want to get stuff when I sacrifice it.
And you get cards. Okay, so notable value in the box.
Besides Duretti,
Magus of the Will. This card is brand new and super good. We've seen a lot of these Maguses. There's Magus of the Wheel, which is Wheel of Fortune on the creature. This is Magus of the Will. It's 2 in the black. Creature, human, wizard. You can pay 2 in the black to tap it and exile Magus of the Will. Until end of turn, you may play cards from your graveyard. If a card would be put into your graveyard from anywhere this turn, exile that card instead. So Yawgmoth's Will on the creature.
You just play cards from your graveyard. You don't have to... It's kind of like Flashback, but for all your cards in your graveyard. But also, you could play a land out of your graveyard, or more than one, depending on, you know, if you have Exploration or something.
Yeah.
Yawgmoth's Will, very expensive card. So this is a great alternative, and also a great second copy of Yawgmoth's Will for decks that really wanted 2 copies.
Yeah, and people are excited about this, and the reason I think the price is up is because it may see play in other formats, which is the other valuable reprint, which is Master of Aetherium. 2 in the blue for a star artifact creature, Vedalken Wizard. Its power and toughness are equal to the number of artifacts you control, and other artifact creatures you control get +1/+1. So actually, in this deck, it's not great, but if you were going to go to a store and turn in some cards and get other ones, I would 100% trade this in.
Yeah, because this is one of the, affinity?
Yeah, it's a modern
modern deck, one of the cards in that. I think it's decent in the deck too. It does make your Thopters 2/2s instead of, you know, 1/1s. And yeah. It makes Brea 5/5. It's fine. It's not amazing, but
yeah. So out of the box, the deck seems pretty powerful, very synergistic. The cards that aren't in the artifact theme are still pretty good on their own, so there is not a huge imbalance between the cards, which I think is really important in terms of evaluating it. For instance, the Kaneos and Tyros of Miletus deck, the power level was everywhere, and you could really see that, like,
if you draw these cards, it's going to go great. If you just don't happen to draw these couple of cards, it's not going to go that great.
Yeah, exactly. So I think this deck has a really consistent power level. Brea seems to be pretty underrated as a commander so far. If you start her, I think you should think of her as like an uber enchantment, and then the possibilities start opening up. Or like a Trading Post kind of card, where the ability of the deck to play a long game is where you want to be, and it's using its graveyard super liberally. It's got so many value engines inside the deck, and it just is going to keep churning. So you have like almost all of your draws are going to be live draws in a lot of ways, because it's going to get an artifact back. You're going to get a 2-for-1 off of a bunch of the cards.
Yeah, both games we played, when we played it, you know, in that environment, just the pre-cons, the Brea deck made it to the last two players both times.
Yeah.
And it was in the same sort of position both times, where it was sort of trying to value them out. You know, and you could see from that point, if the game just could go another 12 turns, the Brea deck was going to win.
Yeah.
It didn't end up winning either of those games, but...
Yeah, probably because it's lacking in control aspects. It doesn't have very many good board wipes, which is funny because this deck is able to rebuild faster than any of the other precons out of the gate. So a board wipe is very good for it, because it can, you know, you get a 20-for-1, and then the next turn, you're playing half the cards out of your graveyard, Brea comes back, you get more synergies, and you're able to control the board again. I think the deck can get overrun really quickly, especially if it stumbles on mana. You can't cast Brea on turn 4. And it's... At its core, I think it's a Shroom-esque deck. So you want to take advantage, also in this case, of token generation and try to make as much mana as possible, because Brea is at the helm instead. So,
all right, let's talk about some cards to add. So again, when we go through this section, it's not a full tune-up of the deck. We're not talking about, like, this is a fully tuned Brea deck. This is about, like, you get the pre-con, you take it out of the box, and you do a quick, like, 12 to 15 card swap out. And remember to check the show notes, because Jimmy's going to have done a full, like, here's the 15 cards we think you should add, and here's also the 15 cards we think you should take out to replace those cards with. So,
yeah.
Yep, it's just suggestions, you know.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about more than 15 cards here. I took sort of the best of these at the bottom of the show notes. So, control, I think this is a deck that would like opposition. And opposition usually isn't that great in multiplayer games, but if you're making a lot of tokens, which I think are a lot of the cards you should be adding in here, like Mirror Battle Sphere is in the deck as well, so you have a lot of ways to use opposition, which is 2 blue-blue for an enchantment, tap an untapped creature you control, tap target artifact creature or land. So you can completely ice a player out of the game with this. If you have like 5 creatures, you can just have them have 5 less mana on their turn, which
yeah,
is really powerful.
Definitely super good in token decks, and you see it sometimes. You don't see it all the time because blue is not traditionally one of the token colors, but now that we can combine it with so many other colors, opposition is just a really good card in general because the versatility of it's really strong. It also defeats like one really big creature, like a Mana Gorger Hydra, say.
Oh, gosh.
That's just on my mind because of the gameplay video.
Yeah.
I just still have nightmares about it.
That card really housed us.
Oh, yes. Let's get people to play and buy this card. So
I put it on here for you, honestly.
Thank you. Supreme Verdict. It's 1 white-white-blue, so 4 mana for a sorcery. Supreme Verdict can't be countered.
Hey.
Destroy all creatures.
Pretty good.
So this is an uncounterable board wipe. It doesn't say the they can't be regenerated clause, but I think that's worth giving up just so that you know it will happen. Also, yeah, a long time ago, if you haven't heard, I spec'd on a bunch of foil copies of these. So I have like, I don't know, 80 or 90. So if they go up in price, that'd be great.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Supreme Verdict again, because board wipes are so good in this deck because you can do stuff with Brea. You can hit someone for 3 before you know you play a board wipe like this. You can do so any of her abilities, and then Supreme Verdict, great, that's fine, because your creatures were already off the board, and you have a bunch of artifacts that aren't creatures that aren't going to die.
Yep.
Bitter Ordeal. This is an interesting
one.
Yeah, really interesting card. I didn't see this until I went to edhrec.com. Thanks, Donald, who somehow made his website work with all the 4-color commanders. I don't know how.
That guy's crazy.
I think
because,
it's the partners that are going to really mess him up.
Yeah, but he's managed to figure out a way, right?
I hope so.
I think they're sort of I don't know what he ended up with, but he was looking on Twitter. He was asking people, like, does this look better or this? I think he figured it out.
Yeah. Bitter Ordeal. 2 in the black for a sorcery. Search target player's library for a card and exile it. Then that player shuffles his or her library. Normally, this card sucks in Commander. However, this has Gravestorm. So when you cast this spell, copy it for each permanent put into a graveyard this turn. You may choose new targets for copies. So if you have a way to infinitely generate mana with Brea, infinitely create tokens, or infinitely flicker her, and you have one sac outlet, you can Bitter Ordeal an entire player's library.
Yep.
In one shot. And then that gets the world back.
Brea and the Thopter infinite times, and now infinite amount of things have gone to your graveyard.
Yeah. And if you have a way to recur this, like with a Snapcaster Mage or with Magus of the Will, then you could do it to two players. So it's an interesting win condition. I think you would only put it in the deck if you knew you had ways to really abuse it. Or if you're playing against very combo heavy decks. And, you know, obviously this card's pretty powerful. Oh, yes. Scourglass. Now, this is an interesting board wipe. It's 3 white-white for an artifact. You can tap it to sacrifice Scourglass, destroy all permanents except for artifacts and lands. All permanents. So that includes planeswalkers and stuff too. Activate this ability only during your upkeep. Obviously, this is the kind of board wipe that this deck wants.
Big time.
And this is way better than Nev's Disc, I think, because you, unfortunately, you can only do it during your upkeep, but it really freezes the table.
Yeah, I think this is just going to... Well, it's so one-sided when it happens, too. It's kind of Cyclonic Rifty in that way. It's just, it doesn't happen quite as instantly, but if you had, especially if you had Leyline or Vedalken Orrery and you could play it out on the instep before your turn and do it, it would be amazing.
Yeah, super.
Yeah, this next one must include All is Dust, 7 mana, Tribal Sorcery, Eldrazi. Each player sacrifices all colored permanents he or she controls. So this will get rid of things like Brea, because she does have color, but it won't get rid of all your, like, artifacts. And you're going to have just way more artifacts than everybody else. Like, you know, this is one of those cards where you're going to play it, you're going to lose 2 things, everybody else is going to lose 7 things.
Yeah, and they're going to lose a lot of the things that they weren't expecting to lose either. So their enchantments, their planeswalkers, the things that are like, oh, you can board wipe right now, it's fine. I have no creatures now. It's like, all is dust.
Yeah, card is good.
Yeah.
It always hoses me every time. I'm like, okay, I'm ready for this, I'm ready for this, I'm ready for this. All is dust.
All is dust, yeah.
And also says sacrifices, so it's like, oh, man.
Yeah. I have a whole category just called good stuff. This deck is a deck that loves good stuff because it has ways to abuse good stuff. And one of them is one of my favorite cards of all time. It's Greater Gargadon. So it's 9 and a red for a creature beast. You can suspend it 10, paying 1 red, so it gets 10 time counters on it.
And you always do this, by the way.
Because this is essentially a 10-turn existing sort of... sacrifice outlets. You can sacrifice an artifact, creature, or land to remove a time counter from Greater Gargadon, and then you can get... So it'll go down to 9, 8, 7, and eventually you'll play it as 9, 7. But the fact that you can sack an artifact is really, really important because...
Right, so when you sacrifice the artifact, creature, or land, you remove a time counter from the Greater Gargadon. So it starts with 10. It doesn't cost anything to sack things to it. Mm-hmm. And that's really the big thing, I think, is that it's a free sack outlet, right? A lot of sack outlets say... Pay 1 and tap this thing to sack something. Not Greater Gargadon. Pay nothing. Just sack stuff.
Yeah.
You can sack up to 10 things, and then it comes into play. And then you get a 9-7 for 1 mana.
I dig it. Yeah, the nice thing is you can also play this with a board wipe, right? So it's got 1 thing left. Yeah. Or it's got like 4 things left. You can play a board wipe and then sacrifice all your creatures so that it just takes 1 thing less. And it comes in with haste because usually it's the turn after you suspend it. So you can just crack at someone for 9 immediately after board wiping.
Or if somebody else board wipes, you can just be like, okay, well, my Greater Gargadon is sitting here with 7 counters. They board wipe. I'll just sack 6 creatures to it so it has 1. So on my turn, you know.
Yeah.
It's really awesome.
You can trick people too. Sometimes they'll attack into you and you sack a land. And boop, here comes a 9-7 that you can block with.
Yep.
Kiki Jiki, Mirror Breaker. Very heavy on the red, but this deck has so many Enter the Battlefield abilities that I think Kiki Jiki and cards similar to this are where you want to be in terms of taking over the game. Not to mention, Kiki can probably find a way to go infinite with Brea very easily. Haste, you can tap him to put a token that's a copy of target non-legendary creature onto the battlefield. That token has haste, and you sack it at the beginning of the next end step. So you can't copy Brea, but you can copy a whole number of other things.
Yeah, Kiki's just... Hold on a second here, because I've noticed that there's a lot of red cards. Are you feeling guilty about the Atraxa thing?
Yeah. I'm feeling guilty that this deck doesn't have any red cards in it. I mean, I looked at the deck list, and there are a few red cards in it, and one of them was Whip Flare. I was like, this is unacceptable. We got to put more red cards
Jimmy
in
the
here.
Red got a hold of this deck.
Yeah. I mean, if you put Kiki in there, you actually have to reform the mana base a little bit because he's red, red, red in his casting cost. You want to talk about these next two?
Sure. Wormcoil Engine. Oh, yeah. This card. It was in, was it last year's Commander product? Mm-hmm. So Wormcoil Engine.
Oh, no, it was in 2014.
2014. Okay. Great, great card. Also still worth quite a bit despite being reprinted. It's a 6 mana for a 6/6 artifact creature worm. It has Death Touch and Lifelink. And then when Wormcoil Engine dies, create a 3/3 colorless worm artifact token, creature token with Death Touch, and then create another one with Lifelink. So it starts as a 6/6 with Death Touch and Lifelink, and then when it dies, it splits into a 2 3/3s, one with Death Touch, one with Lifelink. Here's a Kiki Jiki target.
Yeah, here's just a Brea target to sacrifice. Here's a Trading Post target to get back. Here is a target for your for Shroom to get back as well. Like, if you're playing multiple Wormcoil Engines in a game, it's so hard to lose. You're gaining life off of them. You're creating amazing blockers at the same time. This card is just awesome, clearly.
Yeah, this card is great, great, great.
Yeah, another one similar is Duplicant, which is 6 mana for an artifact creature, Shapeshifter, and Imprint. When it enters the battlefield, you may exile target non-token creature. And then Duplicant takes the power and toughness of that creature. This, if you're able to duplicate it, flicker it, play it again, recur it.
Yep.
Exiling a creature on a creature.
It's removal that you're recurring. So, very good.
Yep. I'm really excited about this one.
Oh, a new card. Look at this.
Yeah, Combustible Gearhulk. Everyone's least favorite Gearhulk, but in this deck, sick. 4 red-red for an artifact creature construct with first strike. He's a 6-6, or it's a 6-6. When it enters the battlefield, target opponent may have you draw 3 cards. If the player doesn't, put the top 3 cards of your library into your graveyard. Then Combustible Gearhulk deals damage to that player equal to the total converted mana cost of those cards. So you're already wanting to put cards in the graveyard because of all the recursion. If you can flicker this, replay this, you can very quickly take someone out just entirely, especially if you flip over a duplicate. That's like 6 damage there already. This would be in the deck, I think, that Brea wants to do 3 damage and kill everyone with that. You'd play something like the Combustible Gearhulk.
Or they just let you draw a bunch of cards, which I want to draw cards, so I'm hoping they do that.
I hope they do that, too, especially if they're at a low life total.
Yeah, you just hold them hostage, right?
Yeah.
They're like, if they're at, like, 10, they just have to give you the cards because they don't know if they'll die or not.
Yep.
The next one is Chandra's mom and dad, Pia and Kieran Nalar. 2 red-red for a 2/2 human artificer. When Pia and Kieran enter the battlefield, create 2 1/1 colorless Thopter artifact creature tokens with flying.
Whee.
Sound familiar? Pay 2 and a red, sacrifice an artifact. Pia and Kieran deal 2 damage to target creature or player. So,
yep. So it's everything you want on a card that is in a deck like this, again. And it's just good. You know, you're just flickering this, finding ways to play it again. Mirrorworks is another good stuff card. 5 mana artifact. Whenever a non-token artifact enters the battlefield under your control, you may pay 2 mana. If you do, create a token that's a copy of that artifact. You can even do this for legendary artificers and just get rid of the legendary copy. So if you did this with Brea...
Yeah, you'd get 2 Thopters out of it.
Yeah, you get another 2 Thopters. Even with that Brea on the stack, you could even sacrifice the copy, I think, before the legendary effect takes place. I don't know. Don't quote me on that.
You get to choose when there's 2 legendaries out.
Well, I'm saying when it's out, are you able to pay 2 and sacrifice that one before you have to sacrifice it at the same time? All or is it a state-based effect? You know what? Don't quote me on it, but there's a lot of silly things you can do with Mirrorworks. Artifacts matter. Goblin Welder. It's another red card. This card may be one of the most broken cards in Commander.
Jimmy, only going to talk about red cards?
Yeah. I've made a solemn promise.
This card is, very good.
This card's absurd. Red mana for a 1/1 Goblin Artificer. You can tap it to choose target artifact a player controls and target artifact card in that player's graveyard. If both targets are still legal as this ability resolved, that player simultaneously sacrifices the artifact and returns the artifact card to the battlefield. So for you... get rid of a Thopter, bring back Wormcoil Engine.
Yep.
For another player, get rid of their Soul Ring and bring back a crappy, anything else. Yeah. You can do this to other players, which is really absurd.
Yeah, sometimes they get out like a crazy artifact and you just swap it for, a Signet that died earlier in the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mostly you're going to use it on yourself. And in that case, it's kind of like Duretti's minus ability, but it's just still amazing because, like you said, tokens.
Yeah, and there's so much stuff you can do with this. You can cycle the same 2 artifacts over and over and over again. You could just do Duplicant and Wormcoil Engine and swap them every single turn. Or if you have a way to untap the Goblin Welder, you can do it multiple times. Very powerful.
The next one is Darksteel Forge. Yeah, this is kind of a must include, right? This is It's a 9-drop artifact, but it says artifacts you control have indestructible.
Yeah. You can have, or you can play Avacyn too, obviously, but
Avacyn's a lot more expensive money-wise.
Yeah.
About the same mana-wise.
Yeah, and I think this deck has a lot of ways to ramp up as well to 9 mana, so.
Well, and also the deck can't really recur Avacyn as easily as it can recur the Darksteel Forge, so mm-hmm. if they do manage to get rid of it, which is very difficult, you can possibly bring it back. They may exile it, in which case it's harder.
Yeah. Next up, we have Eldrazi Displacer. There's a lot of cards you can include that all have flicker abilities. The Displacer is 2 and a white. Oh my gosh. I'm obsessed with red. 2 and a white for a 3/3, and you pay 2 and 1 colorless mana to exile another target creature, then return to the battlefield tapped under its owner's control. So you can do this as many times as you have mana for it. I think there's definitely ways to go infinite with this and Brea.
Yeah, for sure, because flickering Brea means that you get 2 Thopters. I think like with Ashnod's Altar.
Yep.
You can go infinite colorless mana, which you'd have to find a use for the infinite colorless mana. But like you said, there's other ways to just take advantage of, like, I'm doing that, and creatures are constantly dying and coming back, so maybe I use that Gravestorm card.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, if you got, like, Purphoros or something out, then you could just be dinging everybody for 2 damage every time 2 Thopters come in. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Eldrazi Displacer, I think, is a must include in the deck.
Flicker is just so good in this deck. Having white in it really opens up that whole world of possibility.
So another flicker card would maybe be like Deadeye Navigator or Rune of the Hidden Realm. We won't read those cards because we've talked about them many times on the show, but they're just other flicker creatures.
Yep. Probably the best sac outlet you can make in this deck is Ashnod's Altar. It's 3 mana. You can sacrifice a creature to add colorless to your mana pool. So 1 for 2. You get, every time you cast Brea, you essentially will have 4 extra mana.
And
if
she
you
costs
want
4.
Or 6 extra mana. Who knows? Yeah.
And yeah, this card's super good, and it goes infinite, like we said, with Eldrazi's Displacer. Also, like Nim's Deathmantle is mm-hmm. another card that it can go infinite with. There's probably a few others. This card has to go in. It's just too good.
Yeah, you want to put in. This is also ramp, right? Next turn, you can play a 8-drop, or you can play a 10-drop if you wanted to by sacrificing Brea as well, having Ashnod's Altar out. Very good.
Because she only costs 4, and you get 3 creatures with her. You gain mana with Ashnod's Altar out.
Yeah.
So the next one is Master Transmuter. It's 3 and a blue for an artifact creature, human artificer. It's a 1/2, but you play a blue and tap it, return an artifact you control to its owner's hand. You may put an artifact card from your hand onto the battlefield. So you don't even have to put the artifact card that you got from your graveyard onto mm-hmm. the battlefield. You just return one from the battlefield to your hand, and then you put any artifact that's now in your hand down. So you can do things like, you know, what is this? Is a 4-drop? So on turn 5 or maybe turn 4, you can return, you know, your Signet to your hand and then put out, I don't know, Wurmcoil Engine for 1 mana.
You can just return a Thopter.
Yeah, good
point. The Thopter dies, but you get, you know, a 6-drop, 10-drop, Darksteel Forge. You know, there's a lot of cards you can cheat out.
Darksteel Forge, that's so good.
Being able to Master Transmute out of Darksteel Forge at instant speed is like, GG, you did it.
Oh, man, that's going to be a groaner when people, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Another card I think you should definitely put in here is Voltaic Key. It's just a card that untaps other artifacts. I think untappers are also really good, especially for putting in all these value cards. Removal, I don't know why they didn't include this in the deck. They have this in a lot of the precons. They've included in 2 of the commander precons, Spine of Ishsaw. It's a 7-drop. When it enters the battlefield, destroy target permanent. And when Spine of Ishsaw is put into the graveyard, you return it to your owner's hand. So we have so many cards that want to sacrifice artifacts and all that stuff. And this is single target removal for a permanent. So pretty good.
Yeah. That seems like it's recurable, right? So you remove something, then a little bit later you do it again. Let's talk about card draw. It's one of our pillars that we always talk about. Rhystic Study. It's a really obvious one. Put it in every blue deck. I don't know. I'm not
and you
it.
Can put our spoiler card, Padim, Consul of Innovation.
Oh, there's a really good card in this
deck. Yeah, artifacts you control have hexproof. At the beginning of your upkeep, if you control the artifact with the highest CMC or tied for it, CMC, you draw a card. Pretty good.
Oh, that card's perfect in this deck, actually.
Yeah, it's... Yeah. We talked about this deck because we got Padim, clearly. That was why.
Use our spoiler card.
Yeah. And finally, a couple of win conditions. I think Magister Sphinx is a card that doesn't see enough play. This card's really good. 4 white, blue, black for a 5/5 flying. When it enters the battlefield, target player's life total becomes 10. Flicker this a few times.
I've had this happen to me a few times.
Then have Brea just kill everyone.
It sucks. Yeah, that's a really good point. You bring them down to 10, and then Brea can just lightning bolt them down from there, possibly.
Yeah, here's the thing. Like, you have little flying Thopters. A lot of the cards in the deck are flying. You bring them to 10, you peck them down to, like, 6, and then you just sacrifice some things, and they're just dead. Or you can play the political game and hold them on the leash and be like, hey, you're dead at any time I want you to be. So let's take care of someone else.
On along similar lines, have you thought about grafted exoskeleton?
Craig has.
Yeah, because Brea does do the damage with the three damage. So if you have something like grafted exoskeleton, you can just direct damage, poison them out.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
I like that. Marionette Master, I also talked about in another episode, but this card can definitely kill people.
Oh, geez.
Because now you're definitely able to sacrifice artifacts with the Marionette Master out and just drain life. Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, so Marionette Master, it's new, so let's read it. It's 6 mana for a 1/3. It has Fabricate 3. In this case, you would almost always choose to put the 1/1 counters on Marionette Master because Marionette Master says, whenever an artifact you control is put into a graveyard from the battlefield, target opponent loses life equal to Marionette Master's power. So if it's a 4/6, anytime an artifact of yours dies, it does 4 damage to somebody. And if you just sacrifice 2 Thopters, that's 8 damage.
Pretty good.
You could do 3 damage with the Braef when you do that, so you could just be doing 11 damage. 2 mana, sacrifice 2 artifacts, 11 damage. Like, you just do that a couple times, some they're just dead.
Yeah.
So you're right. You can literally play that later in the game and be like, I have your heart in my hand. It's like a Temple Didi of Doom. Onam Shiba, Onam Shiba, Onam Shiba. Sorry, Shivam, I know you hate that movie, and I hate it too, but yeah. It is a movie that exists, so I quoted it, sorry.
And boy, that chase scene at the end.
Dr. Jones, it's bad for all. Yeah, all
right, it's bad for every reason, right? It's just, there's nothing good about
it. And yet, it's Indiana Jones.
And yeah, it's Indy. Dr. Jones, okay, to the listeners, let us know what you guys think about the Brea deck, if you are deciding to go with the partners, or if you'd rather use Brea, what kind of infinite combos you're planning on doing. And why did you just put the paper down?
Yeah, because I forgot to throw it, and then I was like, oh, crap, I forgot, and then he noticed, and
boy.
Fail city over here. Thank you.
So, yeah, make sure you tweet at us at CommandCast, leave a comment on the YouTube video, or on our new website, collected.company, where you can see all of our podcasts all listed there with our sister podcast, The Master of the Modern.
You know what I want to hear? I want to hear the one card we didn't talk about that you think has to go in the deck, and then also what card in the deck you would take out that's currently in there for it.
Yeah.
You know, that's another thing that we run into as we're doing this is we make ourselves work where we actually make the list of the cards that you need to take out. We put that in the show notes, otherwise the show would be like 17 hours long. But that's a big thing about deck building, right? It's like, it's easy to come up with a huge list of cards you want to put in, but you actually have to take cards out.
Yeah.
And that's where it sort of gets heavy.
All right. The show is brought to you by Card Kingdom. Make sure you go to cardkingdom.com/commandzone. There you can order all your singles, C16 product and all that stuff so you can build your Brea deck and pimp it out and make it super awesome within a couple of days because they are very fast and very quick at shipping all of your stuff.
It's possible that the fully tuned version of Brea is actually the most powerful of all the four-color commander decks that are possible.
I think so.
Yeah.
It definitely.
It's hard to say right now, but it's definitely...
It's up there.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the end step where we talk about something cool outside the world of Magic. Planet Earth 2, Jimmy. Planet Earth 2.
It's super good. So far, I think 2 to 3 episodes have come out. I've only seen one of them, but I just sat there with my mouth agape the entire time.
Did you watch the first series, Planet Earth?
Yeah.
Oh, that was one of my favorite television events of all time. I've watched them all like 5 or 6 times.
Yeah.
Just go online. We should put it in the show notes. The iguana, baby iguana snake ambush thing.
Yeah.
That, just that alone. If that doesn't hook you, then I don't know. Something's wrong with you because... It's unbelievable. Planet Earth 2, it takes them years and years to make.
So I mean, much dedication.
I know in the first one, they sent a couple of guys to try and find, like, they wanted to get a snow leopard on. And the guys just spent, like, 4 years just trying to get video of a snow leopard.
Yep.
Because they're that rare. Like, oh, the show's so good.
Yeah, you should watch the second episode. It's all about the mountains and the animals that live in them. And there are a lot of big cats. And it's great. The second episode's incredible. So make sure you guys check that out, Planet Earth 2.
Make sure you also check out our sister podcast, The Masters of Modern, Alex Kessler and Ben Bateman. They talk about modern and all things competitive Magic. You can find them on Twitter at the MMCast. You can also find them right next to us on our new Magic Hub, which is a website called collected.company.
Easy to get to. Type it in.
Easy check to remember.
Yeah. We'll be updating the site with more stuff soon.
It's also like one of the reasons that our Patreon, or one thing that we want to do is improve that website, and we've got a lot of ideas for it. So
yeah. And make again, sure. That link
yeah.
is patreon.com/commandzone.
Come support us.
Please. Our editor for the show is Terry Robertson, and special thanks to Jeffrey Palmer for the Living Cards animations on all of our video and animated episodes at youtube.com/thecommandzonepodcast. You can find Jeffrey at Living Cards MTG on Twitter.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening.
And we'll see you next time.
Peace.
For further inquiries, send an email to commandcast@rocketjump.com or ask us on Twitter @JFWong and @JoshLeeKwai. See you later, alligator.
Greetings, humans.